Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, Central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm Dan Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session, where we'll be talking with some of the cast and production staff of The Drowsy Chaperone, a musical within a comedy, being presented by Mauer Productions On Stage at the Kelsey Theater in West Windsor, New Jersey. Originally created as a wedding gift to a newlywed couple from their theater friends, The Drowsy Chaperone eventually became a 5-time Tony-winning musical and one of the most original works to hit Broadway in decades. It is both an homage and a loving send-up of the musicals from the Jazz Age. As the show opens, the audience is invited into the dingy New York apartment of an agoraphobic Broadway fanatic seeking a cure for his blues. As he plays his favorite record, the soundtrack from an obscure 1920s musical, The Drowsy Chaperone, the show suddenly comes to life in his living room. The audience is quickly taken on a whirlwind tour of the show with frequent and often funny commentary by their host. The Mauer production of The Drowsy Chaperone is a 90-minute roller coaster ride of song, dance, and laughter. With me today to talk about this production is director John Mauer, choreographer Jane Colt, and actors Michael Ferriero Jr., Kimberly Suskind, Rob Gouger, Cindy Chait, and Mark Applegate. Hello, everyone, and thanks for being here.
Hello, Dan.
Hi.
Hey.
John, let's start with you. As the director, the set designer, co-costume designer, chief cook and bottle washer, what really drew you to this show? Was it the material or are you just schizophrenic?
No, I didn't have enough to do is what the problem was. Well, to tell you, I really love The Drowsy Chaperone. When I first, like most people, when you hear the name Drowsy Chaperone, it doesn't conjure up pictures in your mind of a show that you want to run out and see. But I had heard so much wonderful things about the show itself, and then actually got to see when it won the Tony. I got to see it on the Tony Awards and said, well, that looks like fun. I went out to see it. I was lucky enough to see it with almost the entire original cast at that time, and had a ball. It is one of those shows that's not only fun to watch, but fun to do as a cast member. And a lot of our cast is saying how much fun that they are having doing the show.
Is that true? You all having fun?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I have to put you on the spot because you're one of the people here, one of the many in the cast who have actually worked with Mauer Productions for the first time on this show. So what's it like working on a production like this with this team?
I am amazed at how organized everybody is and how much unbelievable fun I am having with the cast, with the crew, with everybody who's working on this. I've said many, many times, and I'm not saying this just because John's sitting right here, but I am having the best time I think I've ever had in theater doing this show.
Okay, here's the money sliding across the table.
Thank you.
And it seems from the rehearsals that fun is really coming through on stage. It sort of brings me to the question of chemistry, and how important is chemistry in comedy, and in particular a show like this, which seems to be more of a sort of a big ensemble show.
Well, the thing with any type of comedy, if there's not chemistry, if you're not working not just off each other but with each other when you're up on stage, it sort of shows. You don't want it to be mechanical, you want it to be organic. And we have a lot of very good comedians in this show who not only have been doing the material that's so well written, but have been adding their own little touches to the material that just take it that one little step further. And when you're doing a rehearsal and you're cracking up from week to week because something new is added or they're doing it in a new and different way and it's sort of bringing it out, you say to yourself, okay, that's going to be good when it finally hits the stage and an audience can see it.
That's great. Mark, I wanted to ask you about your role as man in chair. It's kind of funny. It's kind of a central role and yet not. So how do you approach a role like that as effectively a narrator who's in and out of the story? And what do you think was sort of your biggest challenge?
One of the biggest challenges was that I wasn't here most of the time when everybody else was rehearsing because I have a lot of monologues. So I felt really disconnected with the entire group until I was put back into it, because it was just the director, John, and I in a room doing my lines. And then when I saw what everybody else was doing, I wanted to be part of that. And then I slowly got into that. And how I would get into the character, the more I read of his character, I realized that is me. and how I do those things in my own home. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but.
And it's interesting you should say it. Were you aware of the backstory on how this show actually came to be?
From all my internet research, yes, I was.
So no Tiny Tim autopsy photos, right?
No, actually I did. I looked up Tiny Tim autopsy photos on my phone. I drank brandy at home. I played with my own records at home. I mopped the floor while I was doing the lines. I did it all. I'm very. What did you say,
you're
Kim?
So method.
Yeah, you said I'm so method.
Well, I just wanted to say, because Mark had said he was disconnected at first because he wasn't in with the rest of the group. And one of the issues is that the man in chair is on stage constantly, but he's only interacting at certain points in the show. And when you've got to spend an entire evening blocking out a scene where one character doesn't do anything until he says three lines at the end, it didn't feel right to bring him in at that point. So we had separate rehearsals getting him up to speed with all his monologues. And then everybody else got up to speed with their scenes, and then we combined all of that together so that it wasn't a point where somebody was sitting around and waiting while one or two other people were getting all this work done.
It sounds great. It's actually a technique I remember the team used with Elton John and Tim Rice's Aida. We have one of the stars from that show right here, Kimberly Suskin. She and her propensity for method acting. So I'm curious, Kim, so you're playing Janet in this particular show. You also played Princess Amneris in Aida last fall. Are there similarities in the characters or different approaches?
Absolutely, there's similarities. especially the first act of Amneris is pretty much very similar to Janet the entire show. There's a lot of differences as well. The second act of Aida, Amneris kind of has a, you know, like real moments where Janet pretty much doesn't. She's pretty much all about herself and all about taking herself extremely seriously. And, you know, it's fun to play a role like this after playing a role that was had such a clear arc. And like you had to create all this backstory and this character, this depth of character when Janet is pretty much, you see what you get. Get what you see.
And she's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah.
And I understand there's a lot of dancing for your role.
Yes, which is very fun.
Tell me a little bit about the dancing that Janet has to do. In particular, you have this really interesting scene with costume changes.
Oh, show off. You've heard about the multiple costume changes. It's not typical dancing is what she's doing, as much as just doing as much as she could possibly fit into one song, as far as showing off every possible ability that she has ever done, ever could do, ever has, yeah.
Dreamed of doing.
Yeah, she doesn't want to show off, and yet she shows off the entire thing. We added some tap in because that's my specialty, and I don't get to do it, but the two guys do. So we, instead of, you know, doing 10 cartwheels in a row, a la Sutton Foster, which unfortunately I can't do. We added some tap in to make it a little bit different and more unique to me.
But speaking of fun and dancing and challenges, Michael, I understand that you actually have a very challenging number where you sing, dance, and act on wheels. Now, coming from a guy who can't dance and chew gum at the same time, I have to say that's quite an accomplishment. So can you tell me a little bit about the scene that I'm referencing?
Well, it's two separate scenes. The first scene is all tap, and then the second scene would be, I'm roller skating, essentially. Supposed to be somebody who, I guess, can't really roller skate, and I'm doing it all blindfolded. So that is quite a challenge. Luckily, I could already roller skate before I started this performance, but tap was probably the more challenging scene. I'd never tapped a day in my life, so I had a lot of help from Kim, and I also had a lot of help from Jane.
That's great. And I've actually seen, I was during one of the rehearsals when you were on skates and you were doing all this. It's actually quite amazing, so I have to hand it to you. It's a wonderful job. Speaking of dancing, we have here Jane Kalt, our choreographer. So let me ask you, Jane. Coming off of the great work that you did last fall on Aida, which is a big rock and roll dance show with a style that would appear to have a complete 180 from this show. When it came to the choreography, did you find it challenging to shift gears to Drowsy?
Not really. The tap was very challenging because of the music.
And because I've never tapped a day in my life.
Okay, I wasn't going to say that.
But you look amazing when you do it.
So you never know.
And now you can tap.
Yeah, he can tap now. he just like kicked into gear and went for it, and he's wonderful.
That's awesome.
I'm very proud of it. It's going to make me look good.
What was the toughest part about the dance in this show?
The music. The tempo keeps changing and stops playing, and they've got to keep dancing. And
so high energy,
High energy.
Lots of fun.
Very high energy.
That's great. A little earlier, we were talking about chemistry. We have with us Rob Gouger, who plays the Latin lover Adolfo, and Cindy Chade, and Cindy Chade, who plays the title character, the Drowsy Chaperone. And I know the two of you are doing a lot of work on stage together in some of the funniest scenes in the show. I hear that there's also some great comic chemistry between the two of you, yet you've never met before doing this show. Can you talk a bit about your process and how you work together and how you sort of got to some of those, you know, some of that comic chemistry?
What's your name again?
I'm going to let you take that, Rob. Go ahead.
You know what?
Why did you fall in love with me?
So, Cindy and I, you know, we both play characters that are, I think, really cartoonish. They're really over the top, and I'm not sure where the top is. I don't think we found it. it's a little bit like a tennis match. You know, you just throw it to you, and you throw it back to me, and who can top that? And I don't know. That's kind of the way it feels like to me. What do you think?
I also think that the two of us, Rob and I, from the very first rehearsal, just found each other funny and just clicked, and that's just grown over the rehearsal period and just works for us.
That's great. It sounds like the whole cast has really clicked in that way. John, there was one more thing I wanted to ask you before we start to wrap this up, and that's with such a great cast, such a talented cast, everybody having a great time. I know, given the complexity of the show, that there's been challenges. So can you tell me a little bit about what are your greatest challenges with a show like this?
Well, that's a bit tough. Now, the show itself is a lot of fun to do, and it's different from a standard show in that in a normal musical, you might have four or five leads, and the rest is ensemble. In this show, you have 13 lead-named characters with their own songs and scenes and shtick that they have to do, and you have a very small ensemble. And we have a wonderful ensemble in this show, part of it is that in a normal ensemble, you'll have three or four people in each part, a couple of basses, a couple of baritones, a couple of tenors, and here we don't have that. We have six, and each one is holding their own part during all of the numbers that they have to sing, while they are acting and dancing and moving scenery in some cases, or getting changed backstage. They still have to hold those parts as they're singing them. And that's a credit not only to them, but to Laura Gouger, who is our musical director, couldn't be here today for this interview. But she's done a wonderful job in getting everybody up to speed on their music, which is deceptively simple in style, but is very tough because there's a lot of strange harmonies in this show in order to mimic the 1920s styles.
Well, let me ask you one final question. What is it about this production that you think will surprise audiences, even those who might have seen it elsewhere?
Oh, that's a good one. What we are trying to emulate to some extent the style of the Broadway show without necessarily copying it. So one of the things that we said in going into this, that we have this dingy New York apartment set, but the 1920s musical sections of this have to be bright and colorful, and we can't afford to repaint the set in the middle of the show. So we're doing a lot of that with costumes. And though we've done a lot of costume work in the past, in this case, this show has over 50, close to 60 costumes in it for the 20 actors. And a good, I don't know, 40 or more of them are being custom made for this show.
But it's Kathy Slothauer that's
yes, Kathy Slothauer is taking care of all the costume work for us. There are several people who are working with us that are sewing. We had a very nice donation of material from a couple of companies, and we've been using that to offset the costs.
but it's like we mentioned earlier, Janet has, I think, 6 costume changes in the course of a 3-minute song that she has to do. And not only do those costumes had to be made for this show, because there's a lot of quick change work that has to be done, but they were made with a nice style and with an eye towards keeping with the period.
Mm-hmm. Great. It sounds like an awesome production with a lot of talent and really high production values. If our listeners are interested, performances of The Drowsy Chaperone will be at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on June 8th and run through June 17th. Tickets are $18, with discounts for seniors and students. To order tickets, go online to www.kelsey@mccc.org. or call 609-570-3333. I want to thank my guests, John Maurer, Jane Cult, Michael Ferriero Jr., Kimberly Suskind, Rob Gouger, Cindy Chait, and Mark Applegate for speaking with me today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come see us and these crazy people.
Yay! For Backstage Pass, I'm Dan Maurer. Thank you very much for listening.